Jazz here, and I am so digging the Geekcast Radio Network.
Greetings, humans. This is Starscream, and you're listening to Toycast. And if any of you call me a partsformer one more time...
Now, Toycast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of Toycast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. And I don't think I misspoke in the last episode, but what I did say at the time was... The Origins, which is the new form, one of the new formats here on the show, because we, up until, I don't know, last year, we haven't been on the air for the last 7 years. And what I had said was, the Origins, the 42 questions, we've only been asking male toy collectors. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, and we've had females and girls and women and however you want to, whatever insert term you want here. We've had them on the show before, and we'll have them on the show again. And joining me is longtime friend of the show, Hahi Prime. Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm awesome.
Yay!
I'm going to do a weird voice for no reason.
Now, can you sound like this? Do you transform into a truck?
Well, I've been doing a lot of like... making audiobooks of fan fiction. And so I have like a great Starscream voice.
Oh boy.
I basically only have like a Starscream voice and a Megatron voice. Cause of course Prime just sounds like me, but tired.
Yes, I'm very tired.
Oh wait, that's more.
Yeah, I'm like, that's Meg.
More,
that's like,
I was gonna say, yeah, that's more Marnotia Megatron.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you say, Prime? I can't hear you, Prime.
And of course, I have to basically be touching my like right under my Adam's apple, my collarbone. I'm like, in order to make that,
me to talk like this, I have to physically be moving things around.
Yeah, I was trying to do a book that had just a lot of Megatron talking, and he tends to kind of get more growly like this. And after a while, my voice hurt really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so as everyone knows, we have 42 questions all about toy collecting. This is going to be interesting.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. What is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
See, this is tricky because I don't remember a lot of the toys I had as a kid because I don't remember having a lot of toys.
Okay.
I remember having... junk. Like my favorite things to play with were my very first bike I got was like a piece of crap bike that the tires were busted and they were made out of plastic. Like, you know, old tricycles where the tires are solid. So imagine a bike like that, but the tires are broken. So it's like, and I had to learn to ride a bike on that. And then one of my favorite things to do was to get like, these long sort of 1 inch by 1 inch by however long pieces of oak, because my dad was in construction, and they would be swords and we would sword fight and we would, you know, reenact Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and I would be the Sheriff of Nottingham. And then if you hit yourself by accident with a piece of oak, it hurts a lot.
Yes. Yes, it does.
But most of my stuff, I was just playing outside. All of my like toy buying has been as an adult.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I vaguely remember somebody gave me a She-Ra. But yeah, like I truly can't remember any toys that were important to me.
So basically we need to skip the first four questions.
I'm here to be difficult.
Well, I mean, you can try to answer these, and if there wasn't, there wasn't. Yeah. That's fine. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid, or was there anyone who was unsupportive?
It was just kind of nobody cared either way. It wasn't like, thou shalt not play with toys, but it wasn't also like, go play with toys.
Let's see. Okay, so yeah, we do have to skip 3 and 4.
That's fine.
That doesn't make any sense. All right. Do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
I just call them toys. Like, anything else sounds weird.
Yeah. And I mean, let's face it. They have to have real hair and a dress to be called a doll.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Yeah. And also, like, the whole doll collecting thing. I had a great grandma who collected dolls, which is not a thing that does anything for me, but I remember her being like, when I was tiny, and she was like, this is my collection. And she had just shelves and shelves. And, you know, that's how we're going to look, you know, 50 years and 100 years in the future. People are going to be like, and then they had shelves of these Transformers.
Look, Wall-E is definitely ahead of its time, because this entire planet is going to be garbage by the time we get to the year Wall-E was around.
Oh, man. And I'm like,
we won't be here to live through that, thank God.
I refuse to give up hope, Mike.
What does Shattered Glass Optimus always say? Till all are gone.
Yeah, that's why I'm not Shattered Glass Prime.
Good guys or bad guys, which toys were your favorites to play with the most?
Let's see. Oh, wait, I do have a great story about this. So my little friend Justin, when we were 7, he had mask toys. And so my favorite was to play with, what is his face? Was it Mayhem, the bad guy?
Miles Mayhem, with the big mustache.
Yeah, and he had like this cool helicopter that transformed into a jet. And I was like, it was the coolest thing in the history of time. Yep. But I didn't have any like real preference for good guys or bad guys. I've always sort of liked them equally.
Yeah.
Like, the bad guys are fun and the good guys are good, and I am a good person. Gosh dang it.
Well, if you're a good person in this universe, in Shattered Glass, you wouldn't be so good.
I know. When Shattered Glass first happened, I found it like deeply and profoundly offensive. I was like, I do not! This is evil!
Hey, it's a purple Optimus and it's a purple and black Rodimus. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm down with the evil. If it's got my color scheme, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, man, though. Like, once I realized that it could be funny, then I was like, oh, okay, never mind. Shattered Glass is great. But at first, when deathly serious and like Optimus Prime was hanging dead guys from his ceiling a la Shockwave, I'm like, he does not. That's an abomination.
Anyway,
good times.
What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset? Now, specifically toy vehicle, not technically talking about Transformers, even though they are both vehicles and robots, but like a toy line that had vehicle, like Mask or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah. Mask was cool and I really enjoyed it. Like, I truly missed out on Transformers when I was growing up because I just didn't have access to them. But I think I would have liked them. This is not maybe what you were going for, but my favorite vehicle playset that I have still never found was this extremely cool set that, again, friend Justin had. They were like a set of pipes and wheels, and you could make yourself a car that you could drive around in. And that was the coolest. Like, imagine Tinker Toys that are person-sized.
Right.
But they're like PVC pipes. And I just thought that was the absolute coolest thing in the history of time. Like, we would make you have to make a cage for whatever animal you're pretending to be and all this stuff. But the fact that you could make a go-kart out of it, And I have no idea what that was. But yeah, that's my definite favorite like vehicle playset.
Yeah. I pride myself on guessing a lot of things. Now, one of my biggest guesses I've ever made is this happened 20 some odd years ago. I was at the time Kroger stores had video departments where they actually used to rent out video cassettes still, even though they were moving towards DVD. Mm-hmm. A couple came in and they asked, it was like sort of new, but not really. I'd have to look to see what the actual date was, but I swear it was a newer movie at the time. They said, all as we know is it has Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater, and a lot of water.
What?
Mm-hmm. So on those three clues, I was able to immediately point, are you looking for Hard Rain? Yep, that's it. So, yeah, pipes and levees and things you put into other things doesn't really help me try to help you figure it out.
Nope.
Oh boy. Okay, so you may have done this. I don't know. You're on your bike, so it may not necessarily be with the actual toys themselves. But did you and your friends ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this, I mean, did you say, "I'm going to be this toy, and you can be that toy"? Like, you know, yeah. Amy can be the Coke bottle top, and Nicole can be the piece of glass, or whatever.
Oh my gosh, Mike! I used to have a pet hubcap that I dragged around on a piece of yarn when I was really, really little.
Poor hubcap. He doesn't get no respect.
I know. Anyway, so yeah, we would pretend. Again, like most of my playing was like outside actually doing stuff. So we would pretend stuff all the time, but it was pretending that we were the thing or the person, not like this toy is representing what I'm pretending. My sisters did extremely elaborate stories with Barbies that they would build these elaborate sets with, but I never played it because I was too good for Barbies. Yeah, so that is the appropriate response. And then like much later, I was like, I missed out, man. They did so much creative, cool stuff. But yeah, man, so... I mean, the most pretending with toys I've ever done was like, you know, 15 years ago when I very first started getting into Transformers and I had little kids and I'd get the little robot heroes and mm-hmm. like have them do stuff and talk to each other. And
yep.
That was fun.
Yeah. That, the Coke bottle top and the piece of glass is from, and I know this person has since been canceled and he's whatever he is, but I still like his comedy routine from 1969. It's from an old Bill Cosby thing where, you know, they would go out and play street football and they would have to pick what they wanted to be and kind of thing and all that and whatever else. So what features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
So, is the question what defines a good toy, or is the question how true?
It's both.
Okay. Because that's actually my answer. Like, the thing that makes me want to buy something is if I look at it, I'm like, that's the thing. Like, the shorthand is he walks among us. Like, mm-hmm. If it just feels real and has its own personality, for instance, the G2 Prime that just came out, I was like, I don't need it. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh wait, it's Partimus Prime. He has speakers on his shoulders and he's like retired and just having a good time and out trucking in the salt flats. And mm-hmm. I am so down with this. And so it's like, never mind. We need it.
So, make sure they're not sold out.
Yeah. So yeah, if the toy has personality to it, so it feels like a character who's alive, that's what makes me want it.
Yeah, absolutely. What does toy packaging have to draw you in? So you go into, and I'm only going to use these because these are what we have today because there are no toy actual big box toy stores anymore unless you go to Canada. You go into Walmart, you go into Target, you go into wherever, and you look in the – you got Transformers, you got He-Man, you got whatever other thing, like, what's the thing about the toy packaging that is going to draw your eye the most?
So on the one hand, I tend to shop for toys looking for specific things. So it doesn't really matter what the packaging is. I will find it. However, let us take a moment to go off about how much I love the Legacy box art and packaging style and graphic design. Oh my gosh. I love it so much. Like, the kids have to deal with me being like, this is amazing. I just love it so much. I'm like, it's liquid 80s. Look at it. Look at it. Look at them. Like, oh gosh. I love it so much. But like, I will save a box if it's really, really cool. And I saved some of the, I think, Siege ones that had like the blacklight stuff on them, because I thought that was so awesome. And they were just, you know, so like, I will actually, I really appreciate good box art. So like, you know, the character painted on there or whatever. I really appreciate that and I value it. So I guess that'll draw me in. And then just like good colors and good design. Oh my gosh, I love the Legacy look. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, and again, it depends on the toy. Like from Siege to Earthrise to Kingdom, it really depends on the toy. Most of those, like, what are they called? Like, they're not mini-cons, but the scout class type.
Oh, yeah, the little guys.
The smaller figures, yeah, the deluxe figures.
I totally know what you're talking about.
Most of them don't have, like, the packaging is cool, it looks great, but I mean, if you really want, at least from those toy lines, and even Kingdom to a lesser extent, if you want good toy packaging, you have to get, like, Commander class Rodimus and Blaster and this and anything. Now,
with
Hasbro trying to be more environmentally friendly and going to a closed box system, there is now more potential for any artist working in toy packaging where they can just, you know, here's your canvas. As long as you make room for the content warnings and whatever else, have at it, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's been really successful
so far.
But even like the smaller class where it's not a closed box, I think it still looks amazing. It's something to do with that green and purple. I just love it so much.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. I think, we've already kind of brought up the whole environmental thing and everything else, but like, in our lifetime, we're never going to fix it. Yes, I know using plastic makes it worse and whatever, but I would rather have a plastic window box than Bulkhead's head being removed from an open.
Oh.
Oh, God. Those open windowless boxes, like, yeah, I know there's a potential for the closed boxes for people to, like, try to hide from the security cameras, open it up and switch it with a different toy, kind of like.
That happened to me.
Oh, Lord. When did that happen?
Just recently, like this beginning of this week, the Party Miss Prime arrived and we were all excited. We opened it up and inside was a bunch of different random pieces of old toys. And I was like, dear Amazon, someone has cheated you. Please send another one.
God. That's just, wow.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Why would you?
Yeah. I was like, come on, guys. You're taking the fun out of it for other people.
Yeah, exactly. As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
In general, I prefer modern toys. I'm not like a G1 collector or anything. I'm not specifically looking to collect old toys unless, you know, it has that He Walks Among Us quality of,
yeah,
it's real and it, yeah.
I mean, there's only, look, I know we've had hundreds, probably thousands, but there is only one diecast, for the most part, diecast rolling Generation 1 Astro. There's only one toy that looks like this toy, you know.
Jettison some weight or I'll never make it to Cybertron.
If as in a kid...
if, you can do it.
Yeah. I don't know how to talk. If as a kid or an adult, you only were allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which would it be and why?
I mean, as an adult, the only toy franchise I've chosen to collect from is Transformers because it's a lot of fun. And I'm not much of a, like, I need all the toys. Like, the only toys I've ever wanted that weren't Transformers were, like, Legos and things that you can build with. So I have just a bazillion cool Lego things and a bazillion Transformers.
And since I know it's you, I'm pretty sure you already have Lego Optimus Prime.
Heck yeah. Actually, you know what? I don't have that yet. I have the Creo one, and I was absolutely going to buy the Lego one, and then I think I forgot.
Well...
So after this conversation, well, because like right now we are in just like a golden age of Transformer toys. They are so good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It is so very, very good.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned earlier about Kingdom Rodimus. Kingdom Rodimus is what 9-year-old me in Kibis Kane, Florida wanted at 9 years old in 1989. Yeah. Instead, I had the classic Rodimus Prime, you know, trailer, this, that, and the other thing, and everything else, and whatever.
Yeah.
But, Kingdom Rodimus is amazing.
I am glad you enjoy him. My kids were like, we need him. And I'm like, he turns into a Winnebago. I refuse.
Stop it. He is not a Winnebago. Knock it off.
But see, now they're old enough, they can start earning their own money, and they can buy their own Kingdom Rodimus if they want.
Sure.
Yep. True facts, though.
Yep. All right. Let's see. What is one toy you can always play with?
Let's see. I'm like, why is this a difficult question? Because the answer is whatever one is in front of me.
But like out of everything that you have, what is one you always go back with and pull it off the shelf?
Well, here's where I'm like a weirdo. I don't actually play with them a lot myself.
Right.
Because it's so much more fun watching my like genius level engineer son just being like and
how old is he now?
My oldest is 20 and my 18-year-old is the one who's just like really, really good at this. But
you just got to be careful then, because if Mr. 18-year-old is going to go towards an engineering degree, he might come home with a couple of screwdrivers and be like, okay, Mom, it's time to operate.
Well, no, see, that's how he is. And it's actually awesome. I can be like, Seth, please fix this thing. And okay, quick side story because it's hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were at the bank, okay, to get him his very first checking account.
Right.
And he sees on the little mantle in the sort of waiting area this clock, and it is not working. So he goes over. He's also on the spectrum. So he goes over. Mm-hmm. He picks it up, and he's like, do you mind if I fix this? And then he's like, I need a screwdriver. Do you guys have any?
Wow.
And he fixes this clock. He's like, yeah, I just had, you know, battery acid gunged up in it. So he takes it all out, scrapes it out into the trash. He's like, do you guys have any new batteries? So by the time we left, he had a checking account and had fixed the clock.
That should have included like some sort of $100 bonus or something.
It's just great. He's so fun.
That's awesome.
And then today he was like, oh my gosh, I've been mistransforming Party Miss Prime, the G2 guy, because the way my two boys were transforming him without even looking at instructions, because that's how they do. Uh-huh. He had like little hip flaps instead of them tucking up in the sides. And then they were like, look how good this is. This is good engineering. I wouldn't have thought of that.
That's amazing.
Anyways, I just love how I wouldn't have thought of that is like the highest possible compliment.
Well, I mean, you know, that's like, you know, so we now live in a day and age where streaming is everything. You know, in 1989, when I was 9 years old, I didn't know anything about what Hasbro was doing because
yeah.
I didn't know. Like, whereas now you can go onto their YouTube channel, whether it's a actual live stream at the time or go back to watch one of the older streams, and you can see people like Evan, like Mark, like mm-hmm. Ben, you know, all those people who are the designers and marketing people and everything else. And you can watch them talk. Like, I swear, every time Evan gets a smile on his face from whatever he's talking about, it's like, oh, he's a kid in a candy store, except he works there and he's giving us what we've wanted for nearly 40 years.
Yeah, that must feel good.
You know? I hope it does. I mean, you know. Yeah. So are there any toys in the past or currently that you wish you hadn't bought them? And are there any toys in the past that you may have sold that you regret letting them go?
Okay. The only toy I can think of that I'm like, eh, could have done without that was we got somewhat recently the Cheetor from, is it Robots in Disguise or Cyberverse or whatever?
Okay.
Because, like, I tend not to care about the Cyberverse stuff because it just feels a little fakier in my hand, and because it's not like a... I actually watched most of that show, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel the need for the toys. And so that one, I'm just like, you know, I got it because everybody said it looked cool, by which I mean I was shopping with children. And I was like, you're right, it does look pretty cool. And then nobody plays with it ever again. And I'm like, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Are you talking about the deluxe?
Yeah, the little deluxe Cheetor. Yeah. And he's fun. Yeah. I just don't care.
Yeah, he looks cool. But again, like,
yeah.
The thing with Cyberverse is, and this is what I say to everybody, is that, okay, 1984, we had Generation 1. Even beyond its initial run, we still had it in syndication up until 93, 94, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. Because they were still going to, I mean, it was 98 episodes. Why were they not going to, even though Sunbow had gone under and whatever, they're still going to run it in syndication.
Yeah.
So that G1 was our thing. Cyberverse to me is a love letter to everybody, both adults yeah. and kids. Adults more so for the cartoon. Kids, I mean, kids can probably yeah. go to the cartoon too, but like, the toys are solely for whatever age range is on eight and up.
Like, yeah, you know, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I mean, because yeah. I'm looking at this deluxe class Cheetor and he looks cool as hell, but
extremely
I don't.
Extremely hollow. But yeah, like he's got like swords and stuff yep. and he seemed fun. And I was like, all right, fine. We can get him. But yeah. I think we tend to like slightly more complex transformations or complex sculpts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So
I have lost track of what the question was.
It's okay. toys that you may have sold that you regret letting go.
Oh, yeah. I don't really have any that I've got. I'm very, very, very bad at getting rid of toys.
Oh boy, that's going to be interesting for a question later. All right, how large, because I know it's not small, but how large is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
Okay, so there is a Lego section,
mm-hmm.
and all the walls are covered in various art that I've bought from various Transformers artists.
Mm-hmm.
And there is now a shelf for the Transformers to live on, by which I mean several shelf units. But they don't all fit on there. They tend to be also out. Like, that's their home. And I'll be like, guys, put them away so they don't get stepped on. But, yeah. So, I actually have no idea how many I have. Because it's a lot. And I've never counted.
Oh, boy.
It's probably several hundred. which I know is smaller than some collections and bigger than others, but to me, it's insane. But I love all of them, because like I said, all the ones that we've bought are like, but this is my precious child. Like, oh my gosh, Mike, we were in Walmart and I saw Pipes and I didn't know Pipes had been like released. And I was like, my son! Anyways, it was great.
And everyone in the electronics department turned their heads like,
they were like,
holy what? Crap, what is that lady doing over there in the toy department?
So, oh man, good times.
I guess we can skip question 18. How do you keep track of your collection? You don't.
Not very well. I mean, I know, yeah, I'm not like super OCD about it. I know what I have and what I don't have.
Yeah. I mean, and look, you know, you don't have to be like for me with my collection, I only really collect Funko Pops on the regular. Mm-hmm. So Funko has an app for that. I don't really, I don't really check the app to make sure, like sometimes I double check it to make sure I've got everything listed, but I only have, and not even a majority of them are here. A lot of them are still in storage. So in total, I have 180, as of right now, I have 188 Funko Pops. So, okay. You know, how do you display your toys?
They live on a shelf, mm-hmm. and they also live on top of my dresser, all the big boys. And then because we've had this amazing few years of like Titan class dudes, mm-hmm. and then like, you know, to be honest, checks from the government. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, we'll get them. So those guys are huge and they tend to just where do they live? Like I'll be like, go put them up on the dresser or something. But they also live kind of along the edge of the wall in the Lego area of the playroom. We even have like the wall of boxes because my kids decided that they couldn't bear to part with the cool boxes. So they just stacked them and it actually looks really cool.
That's the good thing about Funko Pops is you can stack them. You can put them in any configuration you want. And they're still all going to look cool because yeah. they're all in their boxes and
yeah.
and all of that. Okay, so everybody is safe. Children, husband, all family members, all pets, everybody's safe. But if you could only keep one toy from your collection and the house is burning down, what would you keep?
I keep my MP01 Prime.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he is the Velveteen Rabbit of toys.
Quite literally, I've heard these days. He's not, he hasn't stood the test of time that well.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Although my engineer son did fix his knee, but it's still kind of gimpy. But yeah. he's real, so I need him. But like, it'd be tough because, dang it, do I have to just pick one? Because I also have the extremely awesome third party Overlord, and I also have like a really as a toy, like especially like here, just play with a dude. I still think that the Springer that looks like Nick Roach's design is one of the most beautiful Transformer toys ever created.
I mean, it's but your like, life. Like, the house is on fire, so
you know. I could get replacement for all of these.
Well, so that's, see, yeah. That's the cool thing about. So generally, you know, that question actually comes from because at this point, I've been doing it for 9 years over on the Pullbag. So basically, over on the Pullbag for comics, I have 30 questions now for comics. And basically, that's where that question comes from, is mm-hmm. if the house is burning down, you can only run it and save one comic, which one would it be and yeah. why? But here's the flip side about you wanting to get multiples. Here's the toy box challenge. You get one 18 by 18 by 18 box. The only toys yeah. you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
Transform everybody into vehicle mode and shove. Yeah, I get like weirdly attached to a few of them. Like I have an Armada Starscream. Mm-hmm. And they're making these new ones. And my kids are like, we need it. I'm like, no, that's not him. I'm like, it's nice and all, but it's IDW Starscream in his Armada outfit.
Yeah.
So just random stuff where I'm like, but this one's real. I need it.
Are you a Funko fan?
Nope, I don't care.
but they have a Target exclusive Starscream.
Don't care. I did like, they made these little tiny, they're like an inch and a half tall, maybe. They made these little tiny chibi guys. Mm-hmm. And they were fun. And I don't even remember what company did it. But we are sort of bad at buying little tiny guys that can be used as game pieces.
Right.
Because we're always like, well, if we're going to play a game with game pieces, we might as well be Transformers. So have you seen that set in Walmart right now? That's like a bunch of little tiny die-cast metal, basically game piece Transformers. And their face paint apps are incredibly bad. But I was like, I'm getting them because they're good game pieces.
Are you talking about Jada Toys, the Transformers nano metal figs?
Probably.
I've got it right here in my hand.
Yep.
So
does your sideswipe look like an absolute and complete derp?
I don't know. He's still in the box. Let me look at him actually.
Like all the boxes we found, sideswipe was particularly egregious. He just looked like a derp. And then RC was like second derp.
Is RC even in here? Oh yes, she is.
She's just like sliding down her undies.
Yes, she is. Oh my god.
I'm like, wow, whose idea was this?
Yeah, how did I not notice that?
And then she's got lips on her chin.
Mm-mm. Well, so I don't want to disparage anybody, but like seriously, a figure that small, no matter how good of an artist you are, there's gonna be lipstick on any other part of the body other than the lips, because that head, like these heads are
it's tiny.
Like,
yeah,
you know, you think of like the old, compare these to robot heroes.
Yeah.
You know what size robot heroes were. Look at these. Yeah. These things are
they're tiny.
I'm really surprised.
All this paint is not applied by a person, luckily, because that would be a miserable job. It's absolutely applied by a robot.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But
robots painting robots.
Yes.
That's funny.
What will happen next?
You know, I've been debating opening this or not, because I feel like once I open it and take them all out of the packaging, I'm never going to be able to get them back in the box. Not that I plan on moving anytime soon again, but like, that's one of the reasons why it's just, I've never opened it. And this says Series 1, so I don't know how well this did.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know how well this did at retail or on the Jada Toys website, but I am hoping, and going from left to right, we have Optimus, Bumblebee, Hot Rod, Cliffjumper, Starscream, Megatron, Jazz, Prowl, Sideswipe, Sunstreaker, Skywarp, Thundercracker, Wheeljack, RC, Ironhide, Magnus, Shockwave, and Soundwave. This is Series 1. What characters are they going to put in Series 2?
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing, unless they did like a whole, like if they did Beast Wars or something.
I mean, I could see that, and I would be so, like, I'd be like,
that'd
shut
be
up
fun.
And take my money.
But, yeah.
You know, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, what other G1 character, like, okay, Gears isn't in there, Trailbreaker isn't in there, but Trailbreaker, he kind of a big Jeep kind of thing, so
yeah.
I don't know how small the, I don't know how well the nano computer can paint a Trailbreaker.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. I can't imagine them doing Series 2 of like, because they'd be all sort of B and C level players, which is mean to say, but you know, that's who they'd be.
I mean I'm just trying to think, like, you could do Rumble and Frenzy as long as they did them the right colors. You could do Laserbeak and Buzzsaw. You could,
it would be fun to have a bunch of little tiny guys.
Yeah, you could do, like I said, Gears.
Yeah.
You could do Huffer.
They don't have Hound.
They don't have Hound. You could do Hound.
They don't have, like, Skywarp and Thundercracker,
no,
right?
No, they do. Yeah, they have all three Seekers. So
okay,
they, so
I
they
couldn't
don't
remember
have,
all of a sudden.
Yeah, so they have Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker. They can do Dirge, Thrust, and
yeah, they could do the Coneheads.
Oh, what's the other idiots?
Sturge, Thrust, and Ramjet.
There you go, Ramjet.
Let's see, who else would be... Ravage. I don't know. If they build another one, we of course will buy it.
Well, obviously. I mean, it's 100% diecast. I mean, don't you know? Diecast construction. Yeah. It's a lost art.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, seriously. And if they if Jada did nano metal figs of Beast Wars characters, oh,
that would be so awesome. That would be, can you imagine?
Oh. And like I said, have you taken these out of the box yet?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, so you've taken them out of the box. I haven't. How
they have,
like, how do they, like, I know technically you can hold them between your index finger and thumb, but like, how do they feel? Like, what?
They're satisfying as heck, okay. Mike. They're really, really satisfying. Right, they're not. They've got like a good weight to them. They're not like super heavy, but they're not super light either.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're like nice and smooth.
Mm-hmm. Good, 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 good.
So, yeah.
All right. What was the most money you spent on a toy?
Okay. So this is interesting because it almost feels like not so much how much money I spent on a toy matters, but how much of a percentage of what I had was it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like the most highest percentage of income ever spent was like $80 on MP01. That was like a huge deal because at the time we were very poor.
Mm-hmm.
The most money that I've spent that I was just like, oh gosh, I'm insane, was on the third party Overlord. It was like $187.
Oh, wow.
But also a friend of mine totally stepped in and helped.
Well, there you go.
So I was like,
that's cool.
Oh man, that was nice.
That's very nice.
But see, now like I'm doing much better. And so I can be like, yeah, okay, fine. We can get the Ark, Scorponok. We can, you know what I mean? So things that would have been just absolutely ludicrous a while ago, I'm like, all right, fine. We can do that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
What was the cheapest toy you bought? What was the best deal you ever got for a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more than you paid? Yeah.
The best deal I blinkin' passed up that I'm still mad at myself for was they had like, it was in one of the, you know, room sales at TFCon or something. I was going to come back and buy it and I never did. And I hate myself. It was like a tiny little gun Megatron. It wasn't like necessarily world's smallest.
Mm-hmm.
But it might have been, and it was $8. And I was like, I should get it, but I don't need it. And I'm still mad. And that was like 5 years ago. So wait, repeat the actual question.
So what was the cheapest toy you bought? Oh. What was the best deal you ever got for a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more?
Okay. Best deal I ever got was there was a garage sale across the street and they were selling a bunch of old Armada stuff. And I got Armada Wheeljack and I was excited about that because he's the dude with his like Autobot symbol scratched out and he's got angst, man. And I would never have spent like real money on him, but I was really glad to have him because, you know, he walks among us. Let's see what else. I've never done like buying sort of hard to find toys. I'm not that kind of collector. Like there's ones that I'm like, that'd be cool to get, but I'm not gonna cause it's not available anymore or whatever. I refuse to buy from scalpers. Like currently we're all stressed out because we didn't buy Pterosaur in time and now he's not available. And I'm like, oh no, but we need him. So, I don't know. We'll see. That may end up being something we actually pay a little bit more to have just because we have to have him. And we're spoiled now.
Now, which one? The first one that came out or the current one that's out?
The one that just recently came out, but the one that looks nice. Like, there's one that's going to be in Target. My kids are now my nerd suppliers where they're like, Mom, we need to get this one. It's coming out here. We need to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Target one is ugly and I don't like it. The Amazon exclusive one looks like pterosaur and I need it. We also, of course, need tarantulas.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the Amazon one is the show accurate one. The Target one is the toy accurate one.
Yeah. And I hate it, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly.
That's not him. Yeah. I want the one that looks like him. Yeah. So we will have to get him eventually. Hmm.
Do you visit, and obviously this is in the before times, because why would you do it now, even though people are like, oh, let's go to conventions. But do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you did toy shows or conventions, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Man, now I'm really missing going to conventions so bad. Okay. Moment of mourning. Okay. So my methodology is I would bring as much money as I could spare. Mm-hmm. Often I would not have much. I'd have enough to get myself there, pay for a hotel, and then just a little bit. My priority has always tended to be art. So I remember one time I was talking to Alex Milne and he's like, what have you, gotten? And I'm like, Alex, I didn't bring enough money to buy anything. I'm just here to hang out with you guys. But, cause that's what I love. I love just getting to hang out with people. So I will buy art and then maybe toys. Mm. If there's some, like I bought Unicron in a bag and I bought like just random stuff that you like, if you find a good deal on something.
Unicron in a bag?
Heck yeah, man.
He's $600 and he comes in this.
Not that Unicron, the Armada one.
Oh, jeez. You gotta specify, woman. I'm like, wait a minute. Who the hell has Unicron in a bag at a convention?
Can you imagine? No, we call him Washing Machine Unicron because that's the size of his box.
Essentially, yeah. It's a small dishwasher or a small washing machine.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, dude, I'm never buying that thing. That is insanity. I refuse.
So I found a way to cheat on it.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Because if, I mean, you know, I don't mind having this if I don't, like, because for me, it's like I'm out at 42 years old. I'm out of the whole, like, well, the box is over there now, but like, okay, I've got a little blacklight keychain in my hand. Like, I'm,
oh, fun.
I'm past the point of, oh, I need to smash my toys together. I've been past that point for over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, that, so I'm out of the whole, I must play with this kind of thing. So yeah, for me,
it's there to look at and make you happy.
Uh-huh. Essentially, yes. It's all about the characters. It's all about the whatever. Well, so Funko's license that they have with Hasbro for the Retro Toys line is them specifically doing the toys. So all of the Transformers so far, because I have two different versions of it. I have one that's more show accurate colors and then one that's more, it's actually a reference to More Than Meets the Eye when they're doing the energy weapon fight between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that Optimus with the energy axe is more of a light blue, where the one that's an Amazon exclusive is more of like a dark blue that you would see in season one on the actual show.
Yeah.
Well, Funko is releasing later in August a 10.5-inch Unicron based on the $600 HasLab. I'm like,
oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Compared to $600? Sure, I can deal with a 10.5-inch Unicron versus a $500, $600 thing that I don't know where to, like, It's not like I can, first of all, have that kind of fundage. Second of all, even if I had that, or if somebody sent, like, no one's going to send me a $600 Unicron, but if something like that happened, like, I have to now weigh this thing to see how, like, how much of a tension wire I have to get to hang it from the ceiling and plant, like, literally, yeah. Like, where are you going to put that thing? So, yeah, no.
That's the thing. Like, there comes a point where it starts taking over your house.
Yeah. I know people that – I know one person that – and he's – I don't know if – I haven't had him on this show. We had him on All Things Transformers. Proto Man. He bought a house specifically to fit his collection. So he wouldn't have to worry about which room he had to put like all 5,000 – I don't know. That guy has so many Transformers and other toys that I have no idea where – no clue.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
Yeah. You know that 21 Pilots song about we used to play pretend and head of a treehouse and mm-hmm. something, and now we got to wake up and get the money?
Yep.
I think that's why. I think that's why we're all just like, man, like I remember, I'm like, I used to play outside with my friends and it was nice, and now it's just like work, and so I think we're just missing our memory of what it was like to be little and not have those adult responsibilities.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I said I don't think it was the last episode of this podcast, it was probably a different show, but I say this all the time. When I had a good job from 2005 to 2010 and I was making a lot of extra cash, at that time I found eBay in 2006 and I'm like, ooh, 84 Optimus, 85 yeah. Blaster, what was the other one? Galvatron. Like, I bought like three different Transformers from the old days off of eBay for all adding up to about $400 or $500 for like four figures. So, you know, it's like, I need my childhood back, you know, because.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is your motivation for purchasing toys to display, play, fiddle, describe your collecting style?
All of the above. So, I enjoy displaying them. I like just having them around, they make me happy. I have children who need fidgets and who really enjoy the actual fiddling with them and transforming them mm-hmm. and making them do all sorts of stuff. And yeah, so I feel weird because I hardly ever actually, especially like the really complex guys, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't enjoy the actual transformation aspect as much as, you know, my kids do, but I really like watching them fiddle with them.
Well, see, that's why, and we've known this for years, for over a decade now, that's why we always buy two, so that way you could have one for robot mode and one for alternate mode, and if you need the kids to transform it from one way to the other way because you don't want to deal with it, then boom, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to eventually learn how to do something. Well, oh man,
you do it's want the kids humbling. To grow up yep. Even though we are regressing now as adults, you do want your kids to grow up, so
yeah. Yep.
Okay, let's see. Have you ever and I don't know how you're gonna answer, have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Oh, bruh, all the time. Like, all of them. Like, yeah. I only get them stuff that I also want.
There you go.
Because I'm selfish. And also, it's my money.
Have you ever purchased a vintage toy for a child because you thought it would be something that they would like based on your own preferences?
Well, not precisely. I have, let's see, what did we get? No, you know what? It wasn't vintage, but there was one year where Seth was desperate for the little mini Movieverse Devastator in G1 colors.
Mm-hmm.
And So that was like Christmas. I'm like, okay, I'll get that. Let me see a vintage toy. I don't think so. The vintage toys that we have are ones that were like gifts or... Yeah, I think all the vintage toys we have were gifts.
Mm. Very cool.
By vintage, I mean like older than 2000.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know. Do you do any toy modifications or customs? Painting, building, build dioramas, that kind of stuff.
So I don't, but Seth does. And so I have to, like, he'll be like, okay, so mom, I want to paint this here. And I want to, like, he, oh my gosh, this was like the most traumatic one. He sanded Black Arachnia so that she can bend her knees up to her chest. He was just like, I hate that she can't move the way she needs to move. I'm going to sand down her little pelvis so that she can move. And I like freaked out, but also I was like, dude, he's having fun and it is a toy and you need to chill. And after he did it, it wasn't like I'd look at it and be like, oh no, she's been defiled. I was like, okay, you know, she looks fine and she can move more. But he also, so I have like also the, yeah, he'll have like things he wants to do and I'll be like, no, because you know, some things I care about.
Well, I mean, you know, Black Arachnia needs to be as flexible as she can, especially exactly. Around those maximals.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, that you know, that is what it is. Now, if yeah. he wants to completely deconstruct Optimus, you know, a la Tonka style, then we might have a problem.
Oh my gosh, I'm like on the Lego website right now that I had to wait in a queue because they're like getting high traffic and I'm buying the Optimus Prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure this has happened before in our X number of year history, but she is buying the Lego Optimus Prime as we are recording this episode.
Yippity. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You qualify for free shipping. Noda.
Do you think? Anything yeah. over $50 qualifies you for free shipping. And what gets me about, and this is just a little side thing here, what gets me about that is you literally have to have it at 5000 for the subtotal. Because if it's 4999, they'll be like, nope, that's not $50. $49.99 yeah. plus tax, not exactly $50.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
Oh, fine. Oh, no. I accidentally exited the website. Okay, stop anyway.
That. Go to your history okay. right now. Go back.
Well, it's all good. Kate, wait. I was paying attention, and then I got distracted. What was the question?
Do you think toy companies should...
Oh, yeah. They should absolutely mix it up. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I have a strong opinion about this.
Well, yeah, because you have to cater to two... Like, again, you know, I'm a 42-year-old man-child when it comes to certain toys kind of thing. You know, yeah. So it's like you have to cater to both. Like, look, no child... No, let's, again, using myself as an example, no 9-year-old today wants Kingdom Rodimus. No 9-year-old today is going to take care of that thing like I took care of the one that I had when I was at 9. It wasn't yeah. even a commander class. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, you definitely need to fit because, hello, without us who grew up with your brand, you wouldn't be where you are kind of thing, yeah. I guess. Do you feel you are coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you?
I am absolutely not coming to an end because, A, the toys are better than they've been maybe ever. Like, there have been a few times where they were coming out with good toys, but not as consistently. Mm. And also, I have more money than I've ever had. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there wasn't ever a moment when you were completely done with toys then, right?
Yeah.
And you've never considered stopping as a collector or even selling your whole collection?
Oh my gosh, heck no, man. Like, they're alive. It'd be like... Oh, so funny. But like, it's so much more fun to have these like they're alive and to love them and to enjoy them at that level. Like, yeah. Not... I love that they're... I'm not obsessive about it, but I care about them. Mm-hmm. And we just have a good time with them.
There you go. What is something that does not have a toy of it you'd love to have in toy form?
Oh, man. See, this is one... I skimmed the questions, and I was like, this is going to be more fun to be surprised. And this one, it would have done me good to think about it. Okay. What is it I wish there was a toy of? Aside from the little adult-sized Tinker Toys thing that I'm still trying to find. I'm thinking in terms of Transformers because it's easiest to like stay focused. But yeah. What would I really, really? Oh, gosh. Holy cow. I know exactly what I want. I want a Megatron Origins Megatron.
Oh, from IDW. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like that was one, not this past Christmas, but the one before that, I was like, I'm getting third party toys. Gosh, dang it. And there was a person that did like a really good Megatron, but he still didn't have the cool head flippies that Alex hates and that I think are cool. So,
yeah,
me and Josh Perez would buy the
all of the Megatron Origins. Yeah.
Yes. Well, only one, because if you have more than one, then the one that you that there can't be like the actual dude.
Well,
that's why I've never bought more than one of a toy, because I'm just like, no, each one is them.
But don't you know, we now live in the universe where all universes are all as one. So you could have like 20 different Megatrons, one from each universe. Like,
well, yeah. But I mean, like I don't have multiples of the same toy. Unless like I'm really worried that it's going to get broken, and then I keep like the extra one just kind of
in the closet somewhere.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
What is a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world?
I was not prepared.
Man, see, I'm the ones that I've always loved were like go-karts and stuff, and they do make those for adults, but they're very expensive.
That is affirmative.
What would I want a scaled up version of?
Start the games!
I cannot think of anything. Because basically, if you're going to get a scaled up version of something, you want it to be like alive and real at that point. So I'm just like, I don't know. If it still has to be a toy, then I'd just rather have it be little.
Yeah, for me, it would probably be the Lost Light. Because who doesn't want a Lost Light?
Oh, that's so funny because like I don't know. I like it living in my imagination.
Yeah. I mean, I could also say that I would love to, I know people have made custom versions of this, but, like, to have a literal real-life blaster or sound wave that you could just walk down the street, you can have it be streaming. You can have it be MP3. It doesn't have, as long as it looks like it looked like, you know, the 80s, that's fine. Doesn't have to necessarily rely on cassette technology, but that would be cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Question 37 in a row.
Oh no.
How has your husband dealt with your collection?
I guess I'm lucky in that it hasn't ever been a problem. I mean, he went and bought me the MP01 Prime for Mother's Day.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Cool, cool. Toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect that you tend to struggle with the most?
It used to be having things come out that I really would have liked and I couldn't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's things come out and I can't order them fast enough and they get sold out.
It's, yeah, in all aspects of toy collecting, it is really, really tough.
Yeah.
Because the companies, the retailers, the whatever you want to say, just they just can't stop the scalpers, and it just sucks.
Yeah.
And that's not just toy. That's with any, like, concert tickets.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, swear to God.
I've had to learn a lot of, like, shopping skills of, like, where to buy stuff from. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What is one positive and or one negative memory you have with buying toys?
I'm lucky. I don't really have any negative memories that like haunt me. I used to be like desperate to get the Hearts of Steel third party Soundwave that or not Soundwave, Shockwave mm-hmm. that turns into like an ironclad ship, and then I felt one in real life and I'm like, never mind, it's made out of cardboard. But yeah, I really have, like, things that we buy get loved. Mm-hmm. Even, like, sort of redheaded stepchildren, they get loved.
I didn't know you could buy those. All right, so this can't be anything that's already out. It can't be anything that has already been announced as of this recording, but if Hasbro gave you the keys to the kingdom and you could create any toy, what would you want to create?
Oh, man. See, we're so lucky right now. They're doing cool ones.
I know. Yeah.
Let's see. What do I wish Hasbro would do? It's really fun the way it is now, because the way it is now, Hasbro's making some pretty good toys. Mm-hmm. And then if they're not making the exact one that you need, mm-hmm. you can soar to find a third party one.
Yeah.
Not always, but you pretty much can.
Yeah, most of the time.
And that is fun. Like I like that dynamic of there's the secret third party ones if you're really rich.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said before, it's one of those things where you have Mark and Evan that are on the design team that are the toy designers, that they are essentially us. They grew up with this stuff. I'm sure whomever is, you know, is higher up than them is like, okay, we need this, this, and this, and this, and this. Oh, and by the way, what is the thing that you think we would want to put out that you also have, like, the most interest, like, I forget, in some of these Hasbro streams for these Fan First Fridays or Transformer Tuesdays mm-hmm. or whatever, Evan has said, like, oh, I really wanted to be able to tackle this in the correct way, or I really wanted us to be able to do this in this, you know, I want, again, like, if you're a person, not that anyone from that was a kid in 1990 kid, I mean, eight, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old in the 90s. Not that anyone in that time frame should want a toy accurate pterosaur over a cartoon accurate pterosaur, but you know, there may be people like that where they prefer the toy colors over the cartoon colors, but you know, those people are whatever kind of thing. But you know, because those toy colors are just, they were ugly then. They were ugly. Was it 25? Beast Wars just hit 25 years. Yeah, they were ugly 25 years ago. It's ugly now. Sorry, artists. Sorry, designers. But yeah, yellow on pterosaur just looks like Cheetor just pissed on his chest or something. I don't know. Those yellow spots on pterosaur just don't look right. Mm-hmm.
I have so far avoided viewing them.
Oh, I'll show you.
I know, now I'm like, all right. But I need to not be distracted by the internet while we're talking.
Oh, I'll show you after we're done.
That,
yeah.
That goes poorly.
Yeah, yes, yes. You have chosen poorly if you choose Toy Pterosaur.
Except I've got the toy ordered, so Lego Prime is on its way.
There you go. Yay! Malfunction fixed. There is no malfunction anymore.
I still have that weird sense of just sort of awe and a little bit of guilt that I can buy toys just because of the way my life has been my whole life. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, there was a thing I wanted and I just, I just went and got it. Yeah. So, you know, moment of gratitude along with the silliness.
There you go. Very cool. Very cool. What is the one piece of advice you would give to the toy collecting fandom?
Oh my gosh. Just have fun. Yeah, yeah, like collect toys however you want to. There isn't a right way. But just have fun. If it stops being fun, don't do it anymore. Or change the way you're doing it. And if it's still fun, keep doing it that way.
Yep.
And it's okay if there's dust on your toys. I give you permission.
Okay, I have to send this to you after, but I have, like, really major sticker shock, because holy crap. I'm on BBTS, and I'm looking at the Transformers Ultimetal, and I assume these are, like, giant statues, because Ultra Magnus is $1,100.
What?
Yeah.
That's okay. Insane.
Let's see.
Now I'm looking at it.
Yeah. So Ultimetal Ultra Magnus stands 17.75 inches tall, features two layers of removable armor. The first layer to be removed is the trailer armor to reveal the Ultra Magnus robot beneath. The second layer to be removed will reveal the inner workings of the Autobot robot. Ultra Magnus is made of diecast and plastic parts and includes a laser rifle, energy axe, figure stand, and remote control. Well, no wonder it's $1,100.
Oh my gosh.
Like, holy.
Oh, God. I'm looking at this picture where he like unfolds and you can see his innards and stuff.
Yeah, the batteries and all that. Yeah.
That's not at all distressing. It's like, here, you can flay your toy for your amusement.
Yeah, We're just amusing each other now, folks. We're sorry, but yeah, like seriously, because I was trying to look for the Yeah, he's the. Okay, so Transformers Ultimetal has Megatron, Magnus, Galvatron, and Hot Rod.
Yeah,
Magnus is the most expensive one, and Galvatron and Hot Rod are like. And I get it. He's super tall. He's super this. And he basically has like three different forms. And I'm just like,
yeah.
And wow. Holy crap. So yeah, just enjoy it. All you toy collecting adults. As far as for kids, what is the advice you'd give to kids who enjoy toys?
Okay. The advice I give to kids who enjoy toys is, when you have something that you want, wait, depending on your age and patience level, either a day or a week or sometimes a month, and see if you still want that thing. Because a lot of times I have had kids be like, I need this thing, and then they forget about it. For example, the Cheetor that we bought. So it's just kind of a, you know, make sure it's something that you really do want. That sometimes causes problems when things like Pterosaur sell out. But yeah, I think, and also I would say, if you can earn the money to buy it, do so, because then you appreciate it more.
Yeah.
I mean, not always, but I think in general, like if you've worked for something. Even if the work that you've done is just being like, no, mom, I really, really, this is important to me. I really want it. I will do chores.
Yes, I asked you for a favor. You won't disappoint me, will you?
Well, no, I wouldn't want you to feel bad.
What did you do to Gears, you monster? You turned him nice. A simple case of displaced circuitry. I employed his personality circuit for my purpose, and he has become my slave.
But yeah, just enjoy your guys. Have fun with them. Let them become real.
What's the matter, fearless leader? You and Starscream look real geeky. Maybe the Autobots aren't such wimps after all.
Does he have to make that awful thunder noise? I've got a headache.
And they call themselves Decepticons.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here and hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back to close the show after this.
Woo-woo!
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me until it ends over, then send me a tweet at musictalkspod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppinoffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppinoffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on times past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this podcast if it weren't for the toys that make us so addicted to nostalgia. Times Past Collectibles in Chicago, Illinois is your primary go-to collectible store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT, Mask, and more. Get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for loose G.I. Joe, Ice Cream Soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Times Pass Collectibles is bringing you back to your childhood. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Ave in Chicago, just two blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email timespastcollectibles1982@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Just search Times Past Collectibles because, folks, it's past time that you get your collectibles. Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the Geekcast Radio Network. We are Tooncast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy toon talk, and now we get the origins of toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all tunes all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled-out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
The battle is over. But the galaxy-spanning adventures of the Transformers will continue, and the greatest Autobot of them all, Optimus Prime, will return.
All right, we are back here on ToyCast. Miss Hahi Prime, anything you want to say to the people? Anything you want to... Any kind of dark, hidden secrets we don't know about you yet?
Actually, like, genuinely, what I would say to the people is, good job. You made it through the last few years. Be proud of yourself. Be kind to yourself. I love you. You're doing good.
Some weirdo.
What do you mean, idea? He's always one of the leaders of Cybertron. The true leader of the Decepticons. Consequently, Cybertron. Is there something? Do you need a lozenge? I actually have one.
I'm good, thanks.
And what I'll say is, everybody stay in your damn houses for the next 2 years. That's what I'll say without actually saying anything.
Yeah.
Really? All right. Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with the people, over again.
No, leave this in. It's great.
Well, yes, this will be an outtake, but like, oh, God, I can't. Wake up.
You can do it. You gotta leave this in. All right, go, Mike. You can do it.
Oh, wake up.
Amazing. A booby trap that actually catches boobies.
The one time I wish that actually had bourbon in it.
Oh, gosh.
That's deep freeze cold.
Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to this and comment on this and all of our other content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can listen to us on anything that has podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever.
Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at TF Toycast for the show. I am at TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter if you want to give it out? If you even, I don't even know if you use it.
Oh, I do, but like I never even check it. I'm basically, I'm Hockey Prime everywhere. So
okay, there you go.
Go find me.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. And you also check out, I believe the page name is TF Toycast, only because I needed to make it more like centric. Of course, considering, what was it, 13, 14 years ago, we started out being solely Transformers. And then at some point, I think around episode 60 or so, I was like, yeah, let's talk about all toys. It doesn't matter.
That's a good plan.
Next time on Toycast, I don't know. It could be a display case. It could be another Origins episode. It could be... So for now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Hockey Prime.
Join us next time when we will be talking more toys here on Toycast.
Good job.
Yay.
The wisdom of the ages. It's lost.
No, not lost. We're all a little wiser now.
But the Matrix is empty.
It's up to all of us to fill it again. With the wisdom we accumulate from this moment on. Autobots, transform and roll out!
Where is that stupid image? Okay, seriously? Disc...
These metal guys would be so fun, though, because they'd be so weighty.
Yeah, they would.
I did build the Gundam sort of more than meets the eye Megatron, because he walked among us. But he's very light.
So I don't know what I assume I know what the difference is, but I would actually have to look at it. But I just sent you a screenshot of what the yellow on the toy the toy accurate pterosaur's chest is.
Did you send it in Facebook chat?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let me go look. Facebook.
That's the Target exclusive.
Oh yeah, dude, I Lincoln hate
that. That is ugly.
Oh,
as
that's
hell.
Just nasty. Why?
I'm telling you, it looks like Cheetor pissed all over his chest.
Well, it reminds me of, remember the like sort of green and purple toxic animated Prime? That's what it reminds me of. He's like,
except Toxitron was much better painted.
I know. Yeah, this is just hot garbage. All right. Well, yeah. I refuse. Not going to buy it.
Judge! They're gone!
Quintessence inferior, Cybertronians superior.